Imagine the classic neighborhood watch, right? You picture folks with flashlights walking down a quiet street, but hand those volunteers a smartphone, and suddenly that local wash group has a digital megaphone.
Yeah, reaching millions in seconds, the physical boundaries just vanish.
Exactly.
So today we're doing a deep dive into the Western Cape Provincial Community Police Board's July 2024 media policy. We're looking at how grassroots community policing structures navigate this reality, balancing, you know, public transparency with strict information control.
Right. And to control that information, an organization first has to lock down who actually gets to hold that megaphone. The policy does this by establishing a pretty rigid hierarchy for authorized spokespersons.
Okay, let's unpack this hierarchy, because the document explicitly limits representatives to their specific geographical area.
Yeah, so if you represent a local neighborhood subforum, you can't suddenly start speaking for the entire city district or the wider province, right? Unless you secure written permission from a higher board. It's a lot like a corporate franchise model. A local branch manager can't make global announcements for the national brand. It ensures hyper-local accuracy.
That franchise model is crucial. It really prevents a localized incident from being misconstrued as a province-wide crisis by someone who, well, lacks the full context. It stops the rumor mill at the source.
So the franchise model keeps official statements accurate and contained. But that entire system basically falls apart the second a community volunteer goes home, takes off the reflective vest, and, you know, opens their personal social media account.
Oh, absolutely. The policy aggressively targets this exact blurry line between personal and official duties. It explicitly forbids members from using Community Police Forum or CPF logos on their personal pages.
Right. No government branding without written permission.
Exactly. And more importantly, it strictly prohibits commenting on subjudice matters.
Ongoing trials and things like that.
What's fascinating here is the sheer legal weight placed on a volunteer. One careless personal post speculating on an arrest could literally compromise an ongoing police investigation or, you know, derail a trial.
The stakes aren't just bad PR, they're judicial.
Right, which brings us to the policy's underlying tension. Because the community knows who these volunteers are, their private posts are almost always read as official CPF positions.
Okay, but I have to push back on the policy's solution for this. It tells members to simply, quote, use your common sense and think before you post.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real. Relying on common sense in a highly reactive digital space feels incredibly weak for a legal document.
I get that. But from a policy writing perspective, they actually have to include a catch-all phrase like common sense. They can't explicitly predict every single new TikTok trend or digital platform that will emerge next month.
I guess that's true.
It's a necessary legal buffer, even if it leaves a massive vulnerability when the lives of private citizens intertwine so deeply with their official duties.
Well, that vulnerability explains why the board doesn't just ban social media entirely. Instead, they compartmentalize it. They proactively assign specific operational roles to specific digital platforms.
Yeah, they divide their tools based on technological architecture. Like Facebook and YouTube are designated purely for general updates, educational outreach, and safety achievements.
Because Facebook operates on an algorithm. A post might not show up in your feed for days, which makes it totally useless for an active emergency. Meanwhile, WhatsApp and Telegram are treated entirely differently.
Exactly, because those platforms use chronological push notifications. They act as an instant loud alarm, which is why the policy strictly reserves them for urgent community alerts.
And to manage those instant alerts without causing chaos, a designated crisis communication team takes over during an emergency.
Right. They handle updates while explicitly protecting victim privacy. Mandatory training on these exact protocols was rolled out in January 2025.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. There is a psychological paradox at play here. The exact same digital tools that make citizens feel safer and more connected, like a hyperlocal WhatsApp group, are the exact same tools that spread panic the fastest during an information vacuum.
And that paradox is exactly why this policy exists. Effective community policing today is just as much about managing the velocity of information as it is about managing physical safety on the streets.
A misplaced rumor online can trigger real-world danger just as quickly as a physical threat.
Totally.
As the line between private citizen and community representative continues to vanish online, hyper-local digital policies like this one are fundamentally shifting how neighborhoods operate. Next time your local watch app dings with an alert, ask yourself, is the person posting this actually authorized to give you the facts, or are they just a neighbor with a megaphone?